This is Michael Ganeau with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. And, wow, I want to start off by saying thank you to the guys at America's Web Radio who bring the truth of the Jewish state to the grassroots of the United States. And you guys are amazing. Insight to Israel was on the air almost 2 years ago. I'm coming up on being here for 2 years, and it has been an amazing, and we're not done. We are never done, because as long as this country fights for sovereignty and security, Insight to Israel will never go away. We will never stop telling the truth. So I want to say thank you to the guys at America's Web Radio. It's been an amazing 2 years. Yoram Edinger, thank you for being here, sir.
Thank you.
I also want to say thank you to all of those who support Insight to Israel through a tax-deductible PayPal or GoFundMe donation. It is very, very important. I live a meagerly life here. I'm 43 years old, sir, and I got 3 roommates. In the United States?
I thought you were 17.
In the United States, if I was 43 and had 3 roommates, you know, the women look at me, well, what are you doing irresponsible, you know? But I tell you, I love what I do. I'm blessed every day, sir, to tell the truth about your country after 2,000 years of no homeland. I want to say thank you to everyone who supports Insight to Israel and everyone who supports Hershey's for Heroes. I travel all over this country. I'm blessed to have a personal relationship through Hershey's for Heroes, bringing Americans together with the Israeli soldiers in a personal contact. A grassroots effort, sir, that no other organization, I don't say this pridefully, but I am so happy to see when people that are participators, not spectators, in the United States send Hershey's for Heroes, they see that chocolate bar that they sent in a soldier's hand, and now they're connecting on Facebook, through email, and there are people that even send the soldiers care packages. They find out the need of that individual soldier, and it becomes personal. And that's the beautiful thing. The poetic, I don't even know the word I'm looking for, how poetic Insight to Israel, or Hershey's for Heroes has become, excuse me. So I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to Hershey's for Heroes. Keep giving. Get your church, your civic group, your friends, your families, your synagogue together, and send me Hershey's for Heroes. I'm not asking for money. I'm asking for chocolate bars with notes on them. How many folks do that? Anyway, moving forward, wow, you know, we just came out, Yoram Edinger. You've been on the radio show before, sir. How are you doing? I'm going to have... So, and we just came through this operation in the Gaza. And I will tell you, sir, I was down there. You know, I don't know if you know this, but I happen to be, God bless, at the right time, in the right place, because in the Kibbutz Sufah, where the soldiers discovered Hamas, I was with those soldiers, and I got on video the whole entire experience. I didn't give away names, spaces, or location. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, the leftist media is anti-Semitic. And I thank God, sir, for this relationship I've built with these soldiers, through Americans, that Americans have built with these soldiers, and that I happened to be there and got on video to show what these soldiers were up against. It was unbelievable. And anyway, we just came through this operation. I want to talk about that with you. You're headed to Texas.
Wyoming, Texas, Washington, D.C., Connecticut, and the Big Apple.
The Big Apple. Now, let me ask you, sir, last time you were on the show, and if you need to go back, if you haven't heard Yoram Edinger on the radio show before, you're an ambassador to the...
Well, I was an ambassador in charge of our congressional relations at the Israeli embassy in Washington.
Very nice. I'll tell you, all the times you've been on the show, you've had a huge, like a buffet of information that has been so useful, so much I've learned that I've actually regurgitated back to other people. And I put a little asterisk with your name at the bottom.
Thank you very much.
But you're going to get another pair of boots? I love your cowboy boots. Those are great. You have them on now? You don't have them on now?
No, I've got three pair. At this stage, I'm satisfied with three pair of boots.
Now, that's what I like to hear. A man that's satisfied, but not content.
Yeah, two Justin and one Tony Lama.
Tony Lama, wow. If I know who those guys were, I'm sure some of our listeners in Texas know who you're talking about. But that's great. How long are you going to be going for, sir?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Nice, nice. Yeah,
returning on the eve of Rosh Hashanah.
Wow. Perfect timing. Perfect timing. Sir, I want to ask you, we've seen a lot take place here from the time these boys were kidnapped in late July through the operation. And I'm going to ask you some very direct questions here because I think Americans, I've been calling congressmen, the senators on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and I'm getting ready to hit these, and I've been videoing it and posting it on Facebook. I'm getting ready to hit these guys up in the Senate Foreign Arms Committee. But, you know, right now, about 2 weeks ago, Obama cut off the Hellfire missiles to Israel. And I will tell you, I have no love. I'm not speaking for you, of course, but I got no love right now for what the U.S. government is doing to the Jewish state. And we created this ISIS problem. John McCain pushed for the funding for the Syrian rebels, and it's just gotten bigger. How would you assess what is happening all around you with it used to be ISIS, now it's Islamic Army. I'm sure you're read up on it, but how would you assess what is taking place in the United States forming a coalition with Muslim countries?
Well, what we have seen during the last 4 years has been an Arab tsunami. Folks refer to it gullibly as Arab Spring, but it's been Arab tsunami, and we have seen that from northwest Africa all the way to the Persian Gulf and down south to Yemen. And in reality, we have seen here Middle East defying U.S. Policy. Since 2008, U.S. policy has been shaped by a group of people who have subordinated reality to wishful thinking.
Right.
They have convinced themselves that the Middle East, the Arab Middle East, is transitioning itself towards democracy. But instead, we have seen here less and less democracy and more violent intolerance towards each other, namely Muslim against Muslim and
right.
Arab against Arab. We hear today from Washington that supposedly there are new coalitions in the Middle East of moderate elements, and the reference is to Egypt and Saudi Arabia and Yemen and Kuwait. Some even add the Palestinian Mahmoud Abbas, Abu Mazen. Now, the problem with such an assumption is that it has nothing to do with the reality in the Middle East, because in the Middle East, anybody who talks about coalition should add coalition de jour, namely the coalition of the day, knowing that
right.
tomorrow's coalitions are very different or non-existent, and yesterday's was very remarkably, dramatically different than today, because the Middle East, as we have known it in the last 4 years, but in fact in the last 1400 years, has been anything but predictable, right. Anything but stable, anything but reliable, anything but peaceful and democratic. Anybody who assumes that the regime in Egypt today is moderate should realize, by definition, the regime in Egypt, just like any Arab country, by definition is tenuous, is provisional, is temporary, and it is about to be replaced, not democratically, but through violence.
Right. Wow.
And we're talking basically about one bullet type of regimes. And since the regimes are tenuous, therefore the policies are tenuous, therefore coalitions are tenuous, and therefore, most importantly, agreements are tenuous. We're talking about a region where agreements are axiomatically signed on ice, never carved in
stone. Yeah.
And therefore, when one hears Secretary Kerry or President Obama talking about the need to forge an agreement between Israel and the neighboring countries, this is something which is outrageously divorced from reality. We're talking about a reality whereby Arab regimes around us resemble folks who have violated almost every agreement they have signed among themselves.
Right.
But here there is an entrepreneur from Washington who says, why won't you Israelis give those guys who endemically do not comply with their agreements, why won't you give them another chance? And in order to get an agreement with them, would you retreat from areas which are intrinsic to your history, to your religion, to your ideology, to your security, and all that on the altar of wishful thinking,
right.
Of Pollyannish, Pollyannish
vision. So you're making reference to pre-67 borders.
Well, anybody who wants Israel to withdraw to the 1967 borders should realize you're asking Israel to withdraw back to a 9 to 15 mile sliver along the Mediterranean, which is more or less the distance between the two airports of the city of New York, LaGuardia and JFK.
Wow.
But not only is it a very slim sliver along the Mediterranean, it's dominated, overtowered by the very high mountain ridge of Judea and Samaria.
Thank you for using that term instead of West Bank.
Right. And those mountains of Judea and Samaria, they geographically, topographically dominate Jerusalem. They dominate Tel Aviv. They dominate the only international airport in Israel, Ben Gurion Airport. They dominate the coastal plain, which is where 80% of the people reside, where 80% of the infrastructures are located, and therefore anybody who is asking Israel, who is pressuring Israel to withdraw to that sliver in return for an agreement should realize you're basically ignoring the lesson which I learned from one of Randy Travis' old songs, where he sings, I've got some oceanfront property in Arizona, and if you buy that, I'll throw the Golden Gate in for free. Because giving away the mountain ridges of Judea Samaria,
right,
in return for peace,
it's not
with Arabs who have not been able to achieve peace among themselves,
right,
resembles an oceanfront property in Arizona.
Exactly. Let me ask you, sir, I'm only giving you, and you're a far more smarter man than I am, but historically what I've studied and what I see going on today, I want Tell me if I'm summing this up correctly enough. When I look at the Middle East, Muslims, and it's not just the Middle East, because Arab is a cultural term. This is an Islamic problem. Because during the operation, we saw Islam in Pakistan, in Iran, which is not Arab, and Muslims all over the world incited to violence. And this shows me that, and I should probably keep my tone down a little bit, because we are in Jerusalem and there's a lot of Muslims here. But this shows me that obviously this is not about land. This is about Jewish presence. It also shows me that Muslims fight Muslims for power, but they take a coffee break to kill a Jew or a Christian any day.
Well, I would say that it's even a larger issue or larger context than that.
Okay.
As far as the rogue regimes in the Middle East, they consider the U.S. power projection in the Middle East, in the Indian Ocean, in the world at large, as their number one obstacle for domination. They know that the only power in the world today which can stop the surging Islam is the USA. And therefore, they refer to the U.S. as the big Satan.
But let me ask
they
you
also
this.
Know, they right. also know that in the entire world, the so-called big Satan has only one effective ally. And that effective ally happens to be situated in the Middle East. It's called Israel,
right.
which they right. refer to as the little Satan. And they correctly understand that we are the beachhead, we are the right. outpost of American values and American national security interests, and in fact of Western democracies here in the Middle East. And therefore, in order to weaken the U.S., they are assaulting Israel. And even more important than that, as you alluded to, the issue is not the size of the Jewish state. The issue is the existence right. of the Jewish state, just like the existence of what they call infidel entities in what they claim is divinely ordained to be Muslim sovereignty. They genuinely believe.
While they expand into other countries.
Right, right. They genuinely believe that the Middle East and, in fact, the entire world is divinely ordained right. to be ruled by Muslims.
Wow.
And therefore, what we have seen in Gaza in the last 2.5-3 months has not been limited to Israel's war on Palestinian terrorism. This has been Israel fighting America's war.
Right.
Fighting the
wow.
Western democracy's war.
Wow.
And the way this war will go, and it's not over yet,
no.
will determine very vital American interest in the area, for instance, for Israel to be perceived as an effective obstacle to the expansion of Islam in the area, for Israel to be displayed as an effective warrior against Palestinian terrorism, bolsters the stability of the Hashemite regime in Jordan
right.
and the House of Saud in Saudi Arabia and Sheikh Sabah rule in Kuwait. For Israel, on the other hand, to be portrayed as a power in retreat, as a weakened element in the Middle East, only provides further tailwind
right.
to Islamic terrorism and radicalism, which aims at destabilizing Jordan and destabilizing Kuwait and destabilizing Saudi, all of which affects the supply of oil
yeah.
and the price of oil, and therefore the day-to-day economic state of affairs in the U.S. and throughout the world.
You know, it's funny you say that, sir, because the Saudis have already paid off the Islamic Army or ISIS. They've paid them millions, hundreds of millions of dollars not to attack them. On top of that, this is funny that you say this, because you and I both know those same countries, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, they are very wicked. These people oppress their own people. They rape and kill their women. They have child brides, and yet they have infected Islam. I'm going to say this is insight to Israel, and I have no shame in saying that Islam is a disease that has infected the United States government, while right now we fund and arm over one dozen Muslim countries that call for the destruction of Israel. And so to me, sir, and I'd like your point of view, I don't call the United States the little Satan anymore or the big Satan. We are the people at the grassroots level, may be, because we are the threat. But the United States government, factually, I've done all the research, we are funding more of Islam. We don't help this country. We've never helped this country through any war. And that's what's disturbing when I study the history of the U.S. relation with Israel. The grassroots may support Israel. You may get a bunch of politicians in AIPAC giving their flowery joke of the speeches. And I'll tell you, sir, it ticks me off, because when I look at how they sign off on Barack Obama's policy and yet give up and give this speech for the American Jewish constituency, they're looking for their vote and their money.
But Mike, we're talking about the U.S., which, thank God, is not a monarchy.
I agree.
Thank God it's not a dictatorship.
I agree.
We're talking about the U.S., which is run primarily by the constituent through electing representatives to the House, senators to the Senate,
right,
and every 4 years a president. But it's the constituent which installs the politicians,
right,
and it's the constituents which,
so I have to blame my people,
takes them down. Now, in that context, the fact is that many times, in defiance of the White House, the strategic cooperation between the U.S. and Israel have reached an all-time high level.
Right.
Especially as a result of the war in Gaza. And I'll give you a few examples.
Okay.
Israel developed before the war and has tested during the war the most advanced, in fact, the only missile defense system which can intercept short-term missiles.
Right.
No country in the world has such capabilities.
No,
however, that capability has already been shared with the Americans through Raytheon Company.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing that capability with Raytheon has been the result of the what I would call the battle-tested laboratory, otherwise known as Israel. We develop it, we test it, and then we share it with the U.S. That is going to expand U.S. employment base, enhancing U.S. research and development base, and increasing U.S. exports of defense systems. Same thing with the Trophy system. The Trophy system is, again, a uniquely developed Israeli technology which protects tanks and armed personnel carriers against anti-tank missile. That's the most effective system.
Amazing.
In the world today. This has been tested in Lebanon. It has been now further tested and further upgraded in Gaza, and again shared with the U.S. for co-production, for joint further developments, etc. We're talking about the Israeli experience in the war in Gaza, which has to do with the medical corps. Today's medical corps in Israel is unique in the world, whereby every single commander and increasingly every single soldier on the battleground has become a semi-medic. Today in Israel, we have reached the conclusion that training individual soldiers and certainly commanders in the medical area is going to spare the lives,
yeah,
of many, many soldiers. We have developed a system whereby the medics are in the front line with the front line soldiers. And several other methods in conducting the medical corps' role in wars. Such experience is already studied by the American military and implemented gradually into the American Corps, which again benefits from the battle-tested laboratory, which one calls Israel. Israel, as you and the listeners may know, has been successful in conducting surgical assaults on individual top terrorists. We have basically done that through unique intelligence capabilities. Those are the intelligence capabilities which are shared every single day with the Americans.
When
it comes to ISIS threats to America, when it comes to the sleeper cells of Muslim terrorists, which are already on the ground in the U.S.
In the U.S.,
and there are well over 100 such sleeper cells. Certainly, the U.S. Benefits from such a collaboration, and therefore we are talking about not only Israel fighting America's war, we're talking about Israel benefiting the future wars of America, upgrading America's battle tactics, and last and not least, in Fort Leavenworth, Texas, where the U.S. Army formulates its own battle tactics, it is known that those battle tactics are formulated on the basis of the Israeli book, on the basis of Israeli precedent. And how do you quantify such cooperation, such unique contribution in terms of American dollars? Do you accord it $1 billion? Do you accord it mega-billion dollars? How many lives are saved through such collaboration? And therefore, we are talking about, again, the big Satan and the little Satan working together, unfortunately, as the only two Western democracies who don't only have capabilities but are willing to flex a muscle, while the rest of the Western democracies have given up completely.
Right. The Europeans are done.
They've given up completely, and it therefore behooves U.S. and Israel to double up our efforts of collaboration if we want to save Western democracies.
What do you think about Kerry asking Israel to join the fight against ISIS? Is that realistic? Muslim soldiers in the foxhole with Israeli soldiers.
We didn't have to wait for John Kerry to ask us in order to advance the war on terrorism in general.
You've been doing it your whole life.
ISIS in particular.
Right.
I can tell you that when I was in the Israeli military as a recruit back in 1963,
already then,
my top commander, who was a major, at the rank of a major then, he was already then in 63 a veteran of Israeli collaboration with the Kurds in Iraq.
Wow.
It only tells you
against
the Arabs in Baghdad in Iraq, who, as behooves Arabs, unfortunately, do not respect the rights of non-Arabs, and usually non-Muslims.
Right. So you've been fighting this war. I mean, you guys have been fighting this war before 48.
Well,
the Haganah, Palmach, Etzel, Lehi.
Absolutely. So, we've been fighting this war since Abraham made it to the Promised Land.
That's great stuff. Yoram, we're out of time, and I want to say thank you for all that you do, sir.
Thank you for what you have done for Israel, for Israeli soldiers, and primarily for sensitizing the real Americans, six-pack Joes and lunch pail Mabel in small town and rural America, sensitizing them to the Israeli reality. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. God bless you. This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gonneau. Thank you, God bless Patriot conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
For coming back.
It's a pleasure.
And we are in some very exciting times. Some people would say depressing. Some people would say negative. I think we're in exciting times because there are some very important things happening for Israel right now, in spite of what goes on around you. But I want you to just give us a quick recap of some background that you have that I think is very important for Americans to hear.
Okay, I'm kind of unusual because I live in 3 or 4 different worlds. I was born in the United States, in New York City. And I speak quite a few languages, and I moved to Israel, and I moved first to Egypt.
Wow, I remember that.
Yeah, I have a degree in advanced Arabic. I have 5 degrees on 3 continents.
Wow.
But I was originally a journalist working for the New York Times, Cox Newspapers. I've been a negotiator and an analyst for Israel, head of their strategic affairs for homeland security for Israel, what they call the Ministry of Internal Affairs or Internal Security. And I teach at Bar-Ilan University. I've taught at Hebrew University. And I've been a visiting professor in the U.S. I've written a book that I think everybody should get. It's called Battle for Our Minds, Western Elites and the Terror Threat. Came out almost 2 years ago. And it's predicted everything that we've been going through for the last 3 or 4 years. And I think that Israel is a very important country for the United States because it's, in some respects, it's like a little America, or America's like a big Israel.
Right.
There are two countries that are based on ideals,
right,
the most important of which is freedom. And for that reason, they're often hated by parts of the world that don't like freedom.
Right. You're absolutely correct. You know what? I tell you, sir, I'm only going to... I never like to put folks on the spot. I do like to challenge people. Some folks would say in that challenge, you're putting me on the spot.
Throw me the fastball inside.
Okay.
I'll turn on it. It'll be fine.
I'm glad for that because I'm going to tell you, I want to start off by saying this. The fact is, I can only look at U.S. government's history in the past 2 administrations. John McCain, who I used to work for, pushed, along with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, pushed for the funding to the Syrian rebels, which has turned into ISIS, which is now the Islamic Army.
Right.
And Benghazi was all about smuggling arms illegally from Libya, from the United States to Libya, to Turkey, and then on to Syria, where our CIA trained the Syrian rebels. And look, I've been calling senators on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and Senate Foreign Arms Committee, Republican and Democrat alike, and I've been saying, okay, so when are we going to stop the funding to over 12 Muslim countries? And now Obama's got a $50 billion package that he wants for those that are fighting in this alliance, which are Muslim countries that hate Israel. And 25 of that is going to go towards training and weapons for these countries. And another 25 is going to go to countries like Turkey, Lebanon,
Pakistan,
Jordan, for refugees.
I have a quick question for you.
Okay,
just to
please
put it in perspective.
Okay.
Which country in the world gets more foreign aid from the United States than anyone else?
Not Israel.
Pakistan.
Pakistan.
Isn't that a mind blower?
Yeah.
That's all you need to say?
It's sad.
It's very sad.
It's very sad.
Now, it's all right to give aid to some Muslim countries. We want, I think it's good for the Judeo-Christian West to have good Muslim friends.
Okay.
And there are good Muslims. But you have to be careful who you give your money to.
Right.
And you have to be careful why you give your money. And it's also a mistake that Israel has made. Israel supported Christian militias in Lebanon. One of them was good, Saad Haddad's militia. They were good, honest, decent people. And there was another militia that was the Maronite militia, known as the Falange, in Arabic, Al-Kataib, which was terrible, which was corrupt, and which ended up getting Israel blamed for the murders at Sabra and Shatila.
Up in Lebanon.
And we have people, in Afghanistan, we've had a lot of Americans killed lately, but what we call friendly fire or green fire, that's people who you think are your allies who turn on you and then murder you.
Right.
An American general was just murdered along with 12 other people by one of these. You have to be careful. You have to know what you're doing.
Right.
And the only way you can know what you're doing is to study, is to get involved.
Know your enemy.
It's not just about opening the book. It's got to be a lot more than looking at your BlackBerry.
Right.
You got to open the book. You got to spend a little time on the ground, wearing your shoes out a little bit.
Right.
You got to sit with people and wear your tailbone out a little bit.
Yeah.
And you have to pay attention.
Right.
Not just listening to your own campaign rhetoric. You got to be on the ball. The problem with, and it's not just this administration.
Right, I agree.
But this administration in particular.
Right.
But you have to have good people who are educated, who are not looking at the world through rosy lenses. You have to look at what it is and be there.
Right.
And pay attention. I think the administration of George W. Bush made some mistakes. No
Absolutely.
Question about it.
Absolutely.
But they had good intentions, and they were ultimately, they were based on what they learned on the ground. They were paying attention. And that's why they won in Iraq, and that's why Obama handed it away. That doesn't mean that you can spend all your life policing the world.
Right.
You have to pick and choose. But the Clinton administration, for example, wasn't interested in the world. It pretended to be, and it went to sleep. Bill Clinton almost never got a briefing from the head of the Central Intelligence Agency. The same thing is true of Barack Obama. He doesn't have the patience. He wants to get back to his golf game.
Right.
He wants to get back to the fundraising. It's fun being president if all it is, in your eyes, is raising funds and playing golf or getting cheers at a convention in Detroit or Chicago. But being president is more than that. It's about protecting American lives. It's about protecting American interests. It's about protecting Western lives, Israeli lives,
right.
Western interests, and seeing the big picture. And they're not doing that. Because the big picture is that although not all terrorists are Muslims, most of the terrorists in the world are Muslims. And you have to understand Islam and not start out with the idea that no matter what happens, I'm going to say it's not Islam, which is what Obama's speech last night was
right.
also.
Right, that's it. That's it. You know what, sir? I'm going to tell you. Let me say this. I am of a different opinion than yourself, and that's okay. I don't think there's any innocent Muslim. Let me tell you what the media does. Down in the Gaza, I was down there the whole time during the operation. When they, on the Kibbutz Sufa, when the soldiers were down there, I was with them when they discovered Hamas. I've got video of the whole thing. The media has played on the women and children when for 16 years those women are taught, teaching their children to kill Jews and sticking them in those caves. You gave up Gush Katif. You've sat down, Bibi, sat down and looked at Abu Mazen. Well, that man knew those tunnels were being built. Now, not to say your military didn't know or your intelligence, but they couldn't do anything because it was in the Gaza. And so they had to have a reason to go in and actually perform an action.
Well, I think you have to be careful. It's true that in Gaza in particular, the term innocence almost loses its meaning. Because they voted for these guys.
Right.
And But it's also true that in Germany, many people voted for Hitler, and there were innocent Germans also. And you have to assume, you know, we have a biblical story that's very important.
Okay.
The biblical story is Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
And Abraham, God says to Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because they're evil. And Abraham says, but what happens if there are 50 decent people there? Will you still destroy it? God says, no, I won't destroy it. How about if they're 45? How about if they're 40?
Right.
We remember the whole story.
Yeah.
And Abraham it was God trying to show that Abraham knew his principles.
Right.
And facing him with a test, and Abraham passed the test, which is, if there are some innocent people, even if there are only a few of them, you have to be careful about
it. Right.
I think there are some innocent people in Gaza.
Yeah.
I certainly think there are a lot of good Muslims around the world. You have Ahmadi Muslims, you have Sufi Muslims. There are all kinds of Muslims around the world. We have to be careful to say, listen, you want to believe in one God and call him Allah? That's fine. You want a pilgrimage? That's fine. You want to pray five times a day? That's also fine.
Right.
You have a different view of a prophet? That's fine. When you start to enslave other people, that's not fine. When you start to kill other people, that's not fine.
Or even do this. When you even start to manipulate the media,
that's right. You
start to infiltrate the government, and then you have ties to Muslims all around the world that want to do the killing, it's amazing the network that these people have.
That's right.
Surface, yes, they look like your everyday American, but what they do behind the scenes. So it's almost, you almost have to sleep with one eye. You have to. With Islam, you have to sleep with one eye open.
That's one thing that we learn in this neighborhood. We know who our neighbors are.
Right.
And we know that the first rule of self-defense is awareness.
Right.
Awareness, avoidance, assertiveness. Those are the three A's of
that's good.
That's it. Awareness, avoidance, assertiveness. You don't look for a fight. Try to walk away from the fight. But if they don't give you a chance...
That's what my daddy used to tell me.
That's right. That's right. You, in kata, in most of the martial arts systems, you take one step back. Say, maybe we had a misunderstanding. Take one step back. Let's think about it. But if they come after you and your kids, it's all over.
Right, right. So let me ask you, what do you see, looking at history, because you're obviously a historian, you don't get to where you are without knowing your history. I see Europe is done. And I look at it things from a biblical, of course, perspective, historical perspective. I've studied the Quran, the Hadith, and the Sirah, probably not to the extent that you have, but it's funny, the same country, Spain, England, I had a soldier tell me in the Gaza, he said they killed 6 million Jews, and they get 20 million Muslims in return.
Yeah.
So what do you see with everything that's going on? Because right now you're dealing with stuff up in the north, which I'm going to be headed up there soon. I'm waiting for this time. I'm going to have a Kevlar vest. What do you see Israel's role in this? Because John Kerry actually asked Israel to join in the fight against ISIS, which I think is crazy, because the same Muslim countries helping in this fight are countries that hate you.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to know where to begin, so I'll start by going into Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
You remember your old horror story, Frankenstein?
Yeah.
Who created Frankenstein? Frankenstein was the name of the scientist
right.
who created the monster. It's really Frankenstein's monster.
That's what they call John Kerry, Frankenstein.
Well, yeah, okay. They call him Lurch.
Lurch.
I've heard Dennis Miller call him Lurch. The Saudi Arabian government created the Muslim Brotherhood to the extent that it really is.
Mm-hmm.
The founder of the Muslim Brotherhood, which was founded in 1928, was a man who admired the Wahhabi movement in Saudi Arabia, Hassan al-Banna. And the Muslim Brotherhood, over the years, got a tremendous amount of guidance and money. We're talking about not thousands of dollars. We're not even talking about millions of dollars. We're talking in the billions.
Wow.
To spread their doctrines across the world, including Afghanistan, including India, Pakistan, Turkey. The government in Turkey is a Muslim Brotherhood government.
It's disgusting.
So the Saudis are now waking up to the fact that the Muslim Brothers they helped create, which spawned Al-Qaeda, which spawned ISIL, ISIS, whatever you want to call it, now want them dead. It's the same as Frankenstein's monster.
Right.
The monster tried to kill the doctor.
That's a good point.
So they'll say, help us, to these, help us, right? And, you know, in that high-pitched voice, like, hey, we don't know what to do. And they'll even go to the Israelis and say, help us.
You know, I just read an article where the Saudis paid off the Islamic army not to attack them. They did it with Al-Qaeda. They paid them millions. Can you imagine? Like you said, hundreds of millions of dollars.
The motto of the Saudi regime has always been pay protection. It's cheaper than getting killed.
Yeah, because they love their own little kingdom.
They're rolling over in money. They don't know what to do with their money. The princes, each of these guys has 30 houses, 5 yachts.
Wow.
And they're 3,000 to 5,000 princes. But they're running out of money. They're running out of oil. It's gonna hit them eventually. And the West is producing its own oil. So what are they going to do? Drink their oil? They can't do very much. So the Qataris, who have the same situation, have basically tried to turn oil money into satellite television networks.
And in real estate, like in...
That's right. Dubai. Also.
In Dubai.
This is what they're trying to do. We shouldn't let them. We should be very careful. But on the other hand, the enemy of our enemy is at least our friend temporarily.
Right.
When we were fighting Nazism, we worked with the Soviet Union, with Stalin, who was a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And Winston Churchill said, I would even think of making a recommendation to the devil for him. But you know, but right after the war was over,
right.
Churchill was very clear about the danger of Stalinism and the Iron Curtain. So I say, yes, we have to fight Al-Qaeda, we have to fight the Islamic State, but we should also realize who the Saudi Arabians are. And it could be that we may be able to force some change on them down the line. And in the meantime, we should work to deal with this present fire. And it is something that the United States and Israel can do together, not out of love of Saudi Arabia.
Right.
It's out of love of America. It's out of love of Israel. We need to fight these bastards and beat them.
Right.
And that doesn't mean to degrade them.
Kill them. We have to kill them.
Destroy them.
Slaughter them.
Ben-Gurion had
let me ask you. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm only speaking from my perspective. We continue to fund these Muslim countries that want Israel dead. I said that earlier in the program. My question is, we've become so politically correct in the military. My brother-in-law just retired 35 years of Marines. He's glad he's out. I'm going to say it on the radio show. If folks don't like it, I don't encourage any God-fearing, patriot American to go in the PC military and join. I just don't.
I've heard a lot of stories from friends in the Pentagon, in the Marines. My brother Teddy was a Marine. And we know after Fort Hood, when the chief of staff of the U.S. Army said, I'm glad that we didn't increase hate of Muslims today. That's what you're worried about? You just lost a dozen people to a so-called soldier of Allah because you weren't paying attention.
Right.
The FBI had material on him. The Army had material on him, and they deliberately did not look. So we have to look, and we have to get our guard up, and we can win.
Do you think, though, honestly, I mean, I don't want to play the PC, sir. I want you to be, I know we may have a different opinion. I respect you, and I love you.
Do you think I'm PC? Do you really
think? No, I do not. I do not. I'm not saying that. Do you really think, looking at the United States, not the grassroots, I'm talking about the government, the way we've gone, the United States, do we have the will to do what needs to be done to slaughter these guys? I know our military does to a great degree, but the generals, the leftist generals that have been put in place by Obama, step aside and let our soldiers do what needs to be done. Do you think we have the will to do it?
I think the people of the United States have the will.
Right. I agree.
And I think the law enforcement in the United States has the will to fight homegrown terrorism. I think we have to be very much afraid of PC politicians.
Absolutely.
And we have to be afraid of PC politicians when they're colonels, brigadier generals, major generals, lieutenant generals, and even four-star generals. And usually to get up to some of those ranks recently, that's what you have to be. Look, when you have the head of American intelligence, the director of national intelligence, Lieutenant General James Clapper, says in Congress that the Muslim Brotherhood is a secular, moderate organization with franchises throughout the Middle East, you know that that's PC. That's perfect crap.
Yeah.
That's perfect crap.
Yeah.
And that's, and even in Congress they started laughing at it. But you hear it from other people also. They'll even be saying stuff like, well, if we get rid of Hamas, we're going to get ISIL in Gaza. No, you won't. You'll get rid of Hamas. And if you're careful, you'll be sure to get something better. There isn't a direct mathematical formula that if you get rid of Lenin, you're going to have Stalin. You may get Gorbachev.
Right.
You might get something better. But you have to be careful. And you have to realize it's not a football game that ends in an hour.
Right.
It's something that's ongoing, because evil is ongoing.
Absolutely.
And that means you fight.
Right.
And you have to be ready to fight, and you have to teach your children to be ready to fight, not because you want to fight.
Right, because you have to.
Not because you want, God forbid. I wouldn't even use the word slaughter. If I can defeat the other guy without killing him, fine. But if I'm dealing with a terrorist, the best solution is to kill him. To kill 9 out of 10. Leave one to get information out of him.
Right.
Right.
And kill the other 9.
I agree. That's awesome.
And I don't have to slaughter him. I don't have to slaughter them. I can...
Yeah, you don't have to shoot them 20 times, just once or twice.
You know, you're not doing it out of hatred.
Right.
We're not striking out of hatred. We're striking out of love of ourselves.
Absolutely.
Protection of ourselves.
Absolutely.
And we are willing to live in peace with people who are not like us. They can be our neighbors.
Right.
They can't be our lords.
Wow, that's very well put. That is very well put. Wow. Well, I don't, that's stunning. That's a stunning remark. That's a stunning, they can be our neighbors, but they can't be our lords.
You want to build a mosque next to my house? You can build a mosque next to my house, but you can't teach in the mosque to destroy the United States.
Then you don't have Islam.
Well, you can have, there are moderate versions of Islam, and you can't teach that you have to impose Islamic law on the United States or on Israel.
But when the Quran says that in order, whether Sunni or Shia, in order for the Imam to come back and usher in the kingdom, one says we have to create enough chaos in the world to usher that in.
I know enough Muslims who don't believe that way. And I'm willing to let them be well and live well and live next to me. I even know a physician, Kanta Ahmed. She's an Ahmadi Muslim. There are 70 million of them in the world.
Yeah.
They're a minority among Muslims. She's a perfectly good physician. She's worked in New York. She went on a pilgrimage to Mecca. She's a supporter of Israel. Why, if she wants to go to the mosque, or she wants her children to go to the mosque or something, why should she not be able to? Fine,
right.
I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
But that's why Muslims, good Muslims, have to police themselves. It shouldn't be my job.
Right.
It shouldn't be your job. Just as nobody should tell you, here's what I want in your church, or here's what I want in your synagogue. Well, you know why they don't have to do that? Because we don't use churches and synagogues to teach destruction, to teach hatred. But in places where they do that, we have to have some kind of monitoring, some kind of awareness. And I think Muslims should do it themselves. If they can't do it, or they're afraid to do it, then somebody else has to do it.
Well, I haven't seen it since Muhammad. I mean, unfortunately, but of course Muhammad's...
Well,
I should have been killed a long time ago, saying he's a child rapist and self-appointed false prophet.
Well, you won't get arguments from me. But you know that there were periods of Islam, even caliphates, where they were more tolerant of minorities in their societies, in some places, than was Western Christendom.
Right.
It happened.
Or Roman Catholicism.
Or Roman Catholicism. But even with the Protestant, I mean, Martin Luther was hated the Jews.
Right.
So, but and preached for their destruction also.
I think a lot of that, and just from what I've read, and I'd like to get your take, not to get off, but I think it's an important point for our listeners. Actually, I get actually this said to me quite a bit, but I think Luther was so indoctrinated that it took him time to actually come out. I don't know if he ever recanted from his... You'd have to repent for your hatred for the Jews. They're God's people. But I think that it took him some time, and I took it... I think.
Look at the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church, which had been saying for years that the Jews...
Killed Jesus.
Killed Jesus.
Ah, it's crazy.
Have only in the last 50 years, 60 years, moved away from that. Under Pope John the 23rd, John Paul, Francis, but the understanding that, first of all, Jesus was a Jew.
Right.
And Jesus wanted Jews to live up to their own principles.
Right.
Which is important. And the fact that there are many common principles from the Ten Commandments to love thy neighbor as thyself,
right,
which are universal principles which should unite anybody who believes in God, or even if they believe in something else. And if they can, then it's really all men are created equal.
Right.
And they should be entitled to equal rights. It's when somebody says, I'm more equal than you, and therefore I will tell you what to teach in your church, your synagogue, or in your school, that we have problems.
Right, I agree. So, what do you think, I mean, do you think that Israel is just going to be defending her borders?
I think Israel is going to give the intelligence.
As you always do, the best.
Right, and it's about time that John Kerry and Barack Obama woke up to this. I mean, like we didn't know? I mean, you guys have been smacking Israel around for years.
Absolutely. It's disgusting.
You know, people in the United States, both on the far left, especially the far left, but also on the far right, have said, oh, we give Israel money and we don't get anything in return. Israel gives a lot in return.
A lot. And you've already given satellite images from the only country who has a satellite rotating opposite of the world, of the Earth's rotation, which is amazing. I don't know how you did it. But you've already given satellite images of ISIS or the Islamic Army's strategic positions.
That's right.
Which is very vital. We need that.
There's a lot more.
I can't even imagine.
When American counter-terror forces go into the field, they go through training here.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah, and you've got the base down in the south that teaches urban warfare.
That's right.
House to house, our military.
You know it.
Thank you, Israel. Thank you. Sir, I'm going to say thank you as a representative of the Jewish people and the Jewish state.
But I have kids in the Army. I was in the Army. And we're glad to be fighting on the same side.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I oppose how my government's been treating this country. But I can say, and I'm sure that my listeners will agree, we are thankful and we love you guys. We will fight with you always, regardless of what the government does.
Thank you very much.
So, anyway, we actually have 1 minute left, and I want to let you say, there's 30 seconds, and then I'm going to do the ending. But as well as giving us information, where do you see Israel when you look at these Islamic countries shaping up, when you see what Russia's doing in the Crimea? How is this going to play a pivotal role? Because
Israel has two important roles. It is supposed to be a spiritual refuge and a physical refuge for the Jewish people.
Absolutely.
But it also has one other role. It's supposed to be a light unto the nations. And a similar role is the United States. The United States has a similar role of being both a refuge to people, spiritually and physically, but also to be a light unto the nations. And I think that over time, Arab societies, authoritarian societies throughout the world, when they see the success of democracy, decency, basic decency, become convinced and want to copy it.
All right. There you have it. Sir, thank you for being here. This is Michael Gannett with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. God bless the United States of America and only the patriot conservatives who stand for the Judeo-Christian founded Constitution and Bill of Rights. And God bless Israel and her fight for sovereignty and security.